Let's rock and roll.
Let's rock and roll. All right, let's welcome everybody out today to a brand new episode of Let's Talk Local Utah. I'm your host, Chris Hollifield. Welcome to the podcast, everybody. Welcome to the show. Before we get into this episode, if this is your first time listening, make sure to hit that follow button, that subscribe button, however you're listening now. However you found the podcast, make sure to hit subscribe as I'm here every week with a brand new episode where I showcase someone or something cool in the state of Utah and, you know, spotlight them. Find out their story. Find out what they're up to. Find out what's going on. You know, I've been doing this podcast for over 12 years now. Started at I Am Salt Lake, morphed into Let's Talk Local. So I appreciate everybody that's stuck with the podcast and been listening along the way. But in before, so I have Coz Green, well, Santa Coz, in the studio here. Before I introduce him into the podcast episode, I, of course, have to mention the show sponsor. Love talking about him, the Red Sign Real Estate Team. It's the real estate team that I'm on, actually. And so if you're looking to move to Utah, maybe you're looking to move across town. Maybe the kids have left the house, right? And you're like, I don't need this much space. Let's talk. I know the real estate market's a little different these days. You know, a lot of people don't know, hey, should I sell my house now? Should I hold on to it? Give me a call. Shoot me a text message in Let's Talk Real Estate, 801-244-2908. Would love to chat with you. Or just go to chris.redsign.com. That's my website if you're looking for houses. So anyway, like I said, Santa Coz is on in the podcast studio.
So good to be here with you, Chris.
It is so good.
This is so good to be here.
And
I'll tell you, what a flight. Just came down. I was actually just heading over to North Korea.
North Korea.
Yeah, right. I get my Barbie parts really cheap over in North Korea this time of year. And, of course, Barbies are as popular as ever. No, actually, I just did a little U-turn over Alaska, and here we are. Just happy to be with you on the podcast.
Well, if you're watching the video, so typically the video is just for our Patreon subscribers, our Patreon supporters. But this video is going to be available to everybody because...
That's wonderful.
And I had no idea that you were... You were coming. I mean, you dressed to the nines today. I mean, Santa Claus never fails.
No, don't disappoint.
So you know,
got the real deal.
Go watch.
You're not
the
talking
video.
To some dime store Santa. This is the real deal, Chris.
This is Santa Claus. I love it. So actually, before we talk about the book, Claus, I want to talk about this. So you're a professional Santa Claus.
I have been since 1999.
Do you know? Okay. I don't know if I've ever talked about this on the podcast, but this is something I've always wanted to do, is to do like the professional Santa thing.
Really?
So maybe you could give me some tips here.
Well, you've got the Kris Kringle look.
Well, okay, Chris.
You could be the young Santa.
You know, with my, did you ever meet me with my big beard when I had my big beard?
So I didn't see you with a ZZ Top look.
I used to have a big beard.
Really?
And it was like, well, you know, I can grow the beard. It just wasn't, you know, I just needed to be pure white. And I always thought it'd be fun to be
like
a mall
Santa. Well,
I'm
not necessarily pure white either. I get my blonde from a box, much like many of the women here in Utah County do.
Oh,
thank you, Miss Claro.
So what, I mean, why professional Santa, man?
Well, actually, that's what the book's about.
Okay,
we can coattail into that a little bit. Because it's an amazing story. It's an amazing ride.
Okay, so... And just to back up a little bit, Coz has been on the podcast before. I mean, we talked about the rugby announcing and all the different audio stuff that you've done, your TV show and podcast, all that, which maybe we'll even get into a little bit here. But let's talk about this book. This is why I wanted...
Because it really explains why I'm dressed like this tonight. Okay. It really does. So it was... And this will hit home, so we can go as deep as you want to. It was November of 1999.
Okay.
And so I still have, but at the time I had a daughter who was 5 years old, Megan, and Ben was one and a half.
Okay.
And I had just done a show in downtown Salt Lake City as another character. And I pulled into our home that we were just talking about where I lived at the time, new house, new neighborhood. I mean, I had a great life, beautiful, smart wife. She worked in neurosurgery at a local hospital. I had everything. And then one night, I lost it. I pulled into the garage and I thought, where's Lisa's car? I mean, it's 9:30 at night. Certainly she should be home with the kids in bed. And I went to the back door and, you know, pushed the button and the garage door went down and I opened up the garage door to go in the house and I got the most dark, sinking feeling that something wasn't right. And as I turned the corner and I looked into the kitchen, the only light that was on was that big fluorescent light over the island. And I noticed that some things were gone. Lisa left, Chris, and she took Megan and Ben with her. That was the night Lisa left me.
Wow.
And I've had three distinct field of dreams moments in my life where I've been called to do something remarkably unique. And that season was the same thing. I got the strongest impression I was supposed to start as Santa. Now, that's how I knew it was not of me, because who in the world ever comes up with that idea?
Yeah.
And so I thought, now I either have to hide this from my children because they're right in their childhood prime, believing in the big guy, especially Megan, or I'm going to have to do it in the open. So that's how the book actually starts. Is Megan, okay, so let me set the scene for you. So there's actually a little backstory to the book, and we can talk about that a little bit later, but how the book started until I had
can,
a...
Can I see the book by chance?
Yes, or, please. Yeah. That's your copy. We'll sign that.
Oh, my gosh.
I've got a few copies for you to give to your listeners.
Okay, okay.
So here's the scene, okay? It's Saturday, and I'm now swallowing my pride to realize I've been selfish. And I'm going to be one of those dads who has to take my daughter and son to Denny's for Thanksgiving. I'm going to be one of those dads.
That's the best place to go.
And now, right? You're going to get some turkey and mashed potatoes. But I'll tell you, my biggest ambition and the most important thing to me in life was to be a good father and husband.
Well, sure.
Okay, so now being a good husband's off the table for a while, at least. I've lost that. But being a good dad was still very, very important to me. So it's Saturday morning. The cartoons are playing on the TV in the background. Megan's sitting at the... no, that's yours. So Megan's coloring there at the kitchen counter, and Ben's playing at my feet. And I said to Megan, can you go in my bedroom and get my watch off of my nightstand? And so she hops off the bar stool and scampers down the hall and into the back bedroom. And then you hear this yell from the back corner of the house. And all of a sudden, Megan comes tearing back into the kitchen. Daddy, Daddy, you got to come see. Come look. And so I was like, what? And she goes, come on, Daddy, you got to come to your room. So I scoop up Ben and we go down the hall and I go around the corner. And Megan has hopped up on the bed. And on my bed, you got to see the scene. There's all of Santa's gear on my bed. There's his beard and his hat and the coat and trousers and the shoes or the boots are there on the floor. And so Megan hops up on the bed and she just can't believe it.
Yeah.
And she's like holding this envelope. I mean, it was a gorgeous envelope. Just gold, handmade, foil, gorgeous. On the back was, you know, the wax stamp with the big SC in it to seal it closed. And I said, Megan, why in the world would Santa write us a letter? I mean, we're the ones who write him letters. And she looked at me like, Dad, it's not to you. It's just to Ben and I. So she opened it up, and the letter basically said, Dear Megan and Ben, there are more children on earth than ever before, and I'm getting old. And so I need help, and so I'm calling your daddy to be one of my special helpers. Now, when he's not with you, he's going to be with me at the North Pole, and he might actually even help me on Christmas Eve. And so that's how I got the call to be Santa Claus. And Megan and Ben were involved in it right from the get-go. So that's part of the story.
So that's in this book.
Yes,
that's how
I get the call. So the first chapter is called The Calling, and it's how I got the call as Santa Claus.
So the book, Through Santa's Eyes, Be Less Selfish, Be More Elfish.
Yes. It's a movement.
Is it, and obviously we're going to talk more about it. I mean, Is it a true story?
It's all true.
It's all true?
It's all true. Of the miracles and wondrous experiences I've personally witnessed through Santa's eyes. And we can talk about it specifically, but it was 2000, and I'm at lunch with a friend of mine, Rob Diamond. He's a movie maker. He's a director. And he just said to me, as I told him a couple of stories, he said, you know, I see this as a movie someday.
This book, Through Santa's Eyes.
Yeah, and that's who gave me the title. He said, in fact, I see a movie, and it's called Through Santa's Eyes. So in the back of my mind, I always knew I'd write the movie, I'd write the book and everything. And in fact, I have an announcement. We'll tell your audience today. It was just confirmed. Have you ever heard of Paul Cardall?
Yeah.
The pianist?
Of course, yeah.
Master pianist. Just the one of the best pianists in the world.
Sure. And you're going to be doing something with him.
In Christmas of 2024, this will have a companion album called Through Santa's Eyes. And each of those chapters will have a song written and composed and performed by Paul Cardall himself.
No
kidding. And so we're putting that into a live concert, and we'll tour the country with it. And so we're actually working on some of the songs will be instrumentals. Some of them will actually have vocals. It'll be full orchestration with a symphony. It's going to be gorgeous. It's going to be amazing.
Dude, that is amazing.
And then that's all a precursor, and that'll be the soundtrack to the movie.
How'd you get connected with Paul?
Oh, Paul and I are just really good friends. We've had some really great experiences together. He's just a really good friend.
You're connected.
And he's caught the vision.
Well, you're Santa Claus.
He's caught
the
vision.
You're connected to everyone.
That's right. I know where everyone lives.
No, but for real, though, I mean, you know, even when I had you on the show before, I mean, you have some connections that are unbelievable.
Well, it's just relationships, and I'm very blessed. That's what makes my life just so rich, is all the people experiences I've been able to have.
So this book, Kaz, that you wrote here, Through Santa's Eyes.
So let's go back a little bit. Okay, I'm with another name. I'm not name dropping, but just to give you some context for what we're doing. So I'm at a writer's retreat with Richard Paul Evans.
Yeah.
At Timepiece Ranch.
Christmas Box.
Yeah, Christmas Box. That was his first book. He sold 8 million copies.
Yeah.
And since then, he's now got 44 million books in print, 47 consecutive New York Times bestsellers. So I'm with him down at his ranch. It's called the Timepiece Ranch down by Mount Carmel, Utah, down by, is it Kanab? Down towards Lake Powell?
Sounds right. We'll pretend.
Yeah, we'll pretend that I know my geography down there. All I know is it's an amazing ranch. And so we're sitting there, we're talking about different books because I've written three. And the other two were actually further done. And I just told him about Through Santa's Eyes. And he goes, what a wonderful book. That would be perfect for 2024. Because, frankly, he and others told me, there's no way you'll ever get this done for 2023. I mean, it was September at the time.
Yeah.
And I hadn't even written it.
Oh, well,
and
okay,
so
put a pin there. We'll have to come back to that.
Yeah, we'll put a pin there. And so anyway, I shared the concept of it, the story I just told you, how Megan was like, Daddy, come to your room. That's how the book was starting. And he just said something to me of, well, give me some more backstory. Make it a little more personal. So the book actually opens up, and I talk about being a young boy growing up in the hood, Midvale, Utah.
The hood.
I was there in the neighborhood. And my family put fun in dysfunctional. And so I grew up in an interesting home. And I talk about the story of how I found love in the Hawes home. So the Hawses lived two doors up. And Ralph and Connie became like parents to me. And Marty and his six brothers and sisters were my second family. I grew up in the Hawes home. And that's why we set the table of why me having a loving family was so important. So that's why it was such a big loss when Lisa left, because of my selfishness. And so that's why the mission began, to help others have strong families and to overcome our selfishness. Because frankly, there's only one cause of divorce. And it's selfishness on somebody's part, if not one or both people. But selfishness really is the plague that's our downfall in the world today.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm on a mission. The movement, as it says on the back there, is to be more elfish. And imagine the world we could live in, Chris, if we were more elfish. And Christmas is not a spirit we need to just trot out once a year.
Should be a spirit we have all year long.
Yeah, because think about it. We're more kind, we're more generous, we're more loving, we're more lovable. Oh, why can't we just live that way all year long?
Dude, I listen to Christmas music in July because it puts me in a good mood.
You're one of those guys.
Is that bad?
You and Mariah Carey, you want for Christmas is me, huh?
Come on. You listen to Christmas.
Absolutely.
I bet you do in July, too.
Well, because Christmas, and we can get into this of what gift Santa Claus gives me in the book.
Yeah.
But Christmas is a vibration. It's a frequency.
Oh, I love it.
It's a frequency. Well, why do we only live that way from Thanksgiving to Christmas? Why can't we live that way all year long?
You tell me.
So at the end of the book, when I go to put up the gear and hang it up for the year, Santa says to me, but Claus, you're not done with your calling. And I said, my calling? And he says, yes, because I'm hereby calling you that you'll be known throughout the world as Santa Claus. And you can wear your outfit anywhere in the world, any day that ends in Y. Okay, that's any day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So when you see me in Africa now in March, it will make sense. When I'm in South America this summer, it'll make sense. Because I don't think this is a message just for Christmas. It's a Christmas for all year round. But basically, my whole theme is that we ditch the me for we. And that's what Santa Claus talks about when he gives me the call is we become an I generation. iPads, iPhones, I this, I that. When did it become about I? Why can't it be about us and we?
Exactly.
And so that's the central theme of this book. It's a movement to unite countries, communities, and families around the central mission and the central message of love and service. And it's not something we trot out once a year, but it's all year long. So this is more of a revolution, a way to live, a way to be elfish every day of the year.
So, I mean, this book, I mean, even in a month like March or April, it's still a good book to read.
Amazing.
I mean, it doesn't have to be
so when
just
I do
during
book
the
signings,
holidays.
No, absolutely not. It's a way of life.
Yeah.
It's the way we should live our whole lives. So once I get the call, I'm now confronted with, I've got to become Santa.
Mm.
So we talk about how I need to be Santa. So it's more than just dressing up like the big guy because it's an attitude. It's a belief system. It's a love. It's a vibration. And then once I discover how to be Santa, more than just dressing like Santa, then I take you on a roller coaster ride through 9 amazing stories where you get to experience with me the miracles I experience through Santa's eyes. The book opens where I'm actually performing live for the Children's Miracle Network at the Salt Palace Convention Center in front of thousands. And a very profound experience that a little girl teaches me of what Christmas is all about. It's called My Little Brother. And I don't want to spoil any of the stories. I invite you to get a copy and read it. But we go from My Little Brother to a story that talks about 3 children being adopted into a family and the miracle I see through my eyes and just the firsthand experiences of love. There's fun stories like the proposal where, and these are all true stories.
Yeah.
Of how it was Christmas Eve and I was asked by a man to help propose to a woman. But I couch all the stories in the first person narrative so you can read them to kids or read them. And they're really fun Christmas stories because I'm saying I am the Santa. But it's a fun story how it was so cool because here I am. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning on a Christmas Eve and I'm over in Bluffdale somewhere and there's no streetlights. So I'm walking around all these houses trying to find the house number. Because I'm going to go into this house and help this guy invite or make the proposal for this woman to marry him. And so I actually go to this front window and I'm wiping on the window to see in there. And I see somebody scampering across the living room. And so I make my way in through the back door and I trip over the ottoman, and you just hear the fun experience that I have with Reed as we get ready to propose to Stephanie and her kids. But there's a knock on the door. We're hiding behind the ottoman in the dark, and there's these big thumps on the front door. Well, Stephanie comes down, not knowing we're there, and she goes to the front door, and it's the police. Because somebody across the street saw someone peeking in the window. So they called the police, not knowing that it was Santa. And so it's just
this was on Christmas Eve, too?
It was Christmas Eve, and it's the funnest experience. So it's a funny story of how that all plays out. But it's a tender moment when Stephanie tells Reed, yes, that she will marry him. Because he actually gets on his knees, gets down on his knee, and asks the kids, her children, if he can marry their mom. And it's just a really fun story. And then there's really the climax of the whole book is the chapter called He is Christmas. Again, true story. It's about 2:00 in the morning on a Christmas Eve. And I'm going into this little house in Sandy. But again, I tell this story as though I'm circling the neighborhood, trying to find out where I'm going to land. And so I really set up the story because it makes it great to read this story to children. And I go to this home, and the backstory on it is I was asked by a family to go do sub for Santa for this other family. And so the only way I could do it, because it was last minute notice, was to do it on Christmas Eve. These particular years when the kids were younger, they were with Lisa on Christmas Eve. So I did 22 visits in 24 hours one year.
Yeah.
Went from noon to noon, 22 visits. Noon on Christmas Eve to noon on Christmas Day, 22 visits. So the only way I was going to get this family in was to go do the visit at 2:00 in the morning. So imagine the scene. This family has a whole truckload of presents and groceries and all kinds of things to help serve this family. And so I carry it all into the home. Now imagine, I went into the back of this house, and I'll bet you the house was not more than 3 times the size of this room. Tiny little apartment on the back of this old, old home in Sandy. Obviously a city named after the dirt, if you've been there. So I go in the back door and I realize this family has nothing, because if I'm not coming, they're not going to get anything.
Yeah,
because I'm bringing Christmas. Now imagine the scene though, Chris. Hardwood floor, little couch over by the window that was probably a hand-me-down couch, a little wingback chair over on this side of the room, and over in the corners a little table with a little Christmas tree about this big, just perched on top of the table, with one strand of lights and some homemade ornaments that are just colored with crayons, and, you know, one strand of popcorn strung through thread, you know?
Yeah.
Just a beautiful, cute little Christmas tree. So I'm putting out all the presents and all the groceries and all the amazing things that the neighbors had contributed to make this Christmas special. And I must have bumped my bells against the pedal on the bike. And I made that little noise, you know, trying to be stealth, but I made the noise. And so there was that little, you know, bang on the pedal. And I tried to get that echo from not going throughout the whole house. And I obviously made enough noise that I gave up that I was there. And I turned and I looked, Chris, and there was a little girl standing there, almost like Cindy Lou Who in The Grinch That Stole Christmas. And she's looking at me. And the only light in the whole room is that light coming from that little Christmas tree.
And she's like, "What are you doing, Santa?"
Look on her face, she caught Santa in the act. And so she came over and she sat on my knee. I was sitting on the floor. And then right then, her little brother comes around the corner. He was about 4.
Yeah.
And the look on his face, like, this is not real. This is not happening. And then I could hear mom and dad around the corner. But the little girl and the little boy come and they sit down. And I looked at both of them and I said, "Now, who knows what Christmas is all about?"
Toys.
Chris, she jumped up. She ran over to the corner where that Christmas tree was. I hadn't even noticed. But there was a little nativity scene underneath the tree. Like you'd get it all $1. And she reached into the manger. And she pulled out baby Jesus out of the manger. "Let me see your hand." And she came over to me. And she pulled out my hand. She took baby Jesus. She put him in my hand and she closed him. And she clenched my hand tight. And she looked right through me and she said, Santa, he is Christmas.
How old was this girl?
Wow. Maybe six.
Wow.
Now you got to imagine the scene. It's 2 o'clock in the morning on Christmas morning, Christmas Eve, however you want to look at it. And here she is teaching me that he is Christmas. Well, I can hear mom and dad sniffling around the corner, so I invite them into the room. And right there at 2:15 in the morning in that little teeny house, we sang together Silent Night. And it was one of the most special experiences I'll never forget.
Yeah.
And then there's the little story of Jacob that a doctor calls me, and it's on Christmas Eve, the 23rd of December. And he says, will you go visit Jacob? Because he's dying of leukemia, and his last wish is to see Santa. So I go to his home, and my story in the book is just a very special, beautiful recounting of the experience with Jacob at his bedside and our experience before he passes and my exchange with his mother. And, you know, when I stood up to leave because he was just so tired, he closed his eyes. He was still with us. But his mom came over, and I just held her tight, and she just cried in my beard. She just, Santa, I'm not ready to lose my son. I'm not ready to lose my boy. And I'll never forget that experience. And that next morning, his mom called me and told how she was laying in bed with him, knowing he was going to pass. And in the middle of the night, she could hear him whispering. And she said, Jacob, who are you talking to? And she said, and he said to his mom, he said, they're here. I can see Santa's angels. And they've come to tell me it's okay to go home now. And with that, he took his last breath, closed his eyes, and went back to heaven. So it's just story after story that reminds us what Christmas is all about. It's about love. It's about giving. You know, a bell's not a bell until we ring it. A song's not a song until we sing it. Love isn't put on our heart to stay. No, love's not love until we give it away. Yeah. And so my mission is for us to start this movement, to boost this, ignite this revolution that we can live this way every day of the year, not just at Christmas. And so that's what the book is all about, as I share those stories.
This is your third book, you said, right?
Well, I wrote three, so I have two others that are coming out in 2024. This was just an idea. And like I said, everybody lined up to tell us we couldn't do it. Well, you don't tell me and my partner in the book that you can't do this. So we started North Pole Publishing. Okay. I mean, because a book's got to come from the North Pole, well, yeah, right?
But you wrote other books, though.
Yes.
You, like Cos Green wrote other
yes.
books.
Yeah, yes, yeah, okay. yes, yes. Yeah. But I'm just saying, so Santa's book has to come from the North Pole.
Yeah.
So recently, just really recently, we started North Pole Publishing, and we've got 100,000 copies of the book printed that we will move and get out to the world before Christmas 2023.
Through Santa's eyes, you're going to move 100,000 books before this Christmas.
Yep. Yeah. The average author never sells 250 copies of their book. We'll move 100,000 copies of that book.
I love it. I love it. So how, I mean, obviously we can mention it at the end too, but how can people get a copy of this
book? Just go to ThroughSantasEyes.com. You can get it directly from the website, ThroughSantasEyes.com. It's also available on Amazon. And
what about local bookstores? Any local spots?
I'll be doing book signings at local bookstores. Just go to Through Santa's Eyes, go up to the media section, and you'll see all my book signings around the country.
I'm just thinking, I mean, this would be a great Christmas gift,
it's
too,
the perfect
right?
Christmas
because,
gift.
And I
wrote it that way. If you notice, you can read that in about an hour and a half.
Get
I call 30, them an airplane
40 copies,
book.
And you're set for Christmas.
Yes.
I mean, you don't have to even go out Christmas shopping.
And
you got everybody handled.
How we designed it is people aren't buying one copy. They're buying 10, 20, 50, 100.
Yeah.
They're giving them to their employees. They're giving them to their customers. They're giving them to their family members. It's an easy read. Like I said, I call it an airplane book, so you can read it
yeah.
on an airplane flight. It's easy to read.
Well, you're okay.
Okay, but you better have.
I got to jump in there. You're making it sound like it's really thin. This is a book, Cause.
Of course, it's a book.
I wouldn't say that this is an airplane read. This is a couple of airplane.
No, you could read that on a flight from here to Seattle.
Yeah, you're probably right. But I mean, okay, you said in September you hadn't even started writing it yet.
Correct.
So, how? I mean, it usually takes people years to write a book.
Well, so people say, how long did it take you to write the book? In essence, it took me 24 years to write.
Okay.
Right? I mean,
you
starts in 1999. I've got hundreds of stories. So how do I pick the ones? But then when I sat down, I was in a state of flow, and I honestly just dictated or just transcribed what was dictated to me.
Okay.
So it probably took me 24 hours to write it.
Okay.
Not 24 hours from noon to noon, but what I mean is maybe 6 sittings of 4 hours, and I just transcribed what was dictated to me.
Because when I had you on the show before, you've done radio, you've done broadcasting, but writing isn't a normal, like, I mean, that's not like, you're not like, you weren't like this big journalist, like writing.
No, I started in news.
Okay, but
that's how I started
broadcasting more, like not writing the news.
Right.
So, I mean, was it challenging to write a book for you?
I mean,
Santa Claus, I guess Santa Claus.
I wish it were, Chris, but I want you to know this, that when I surrendered, got in frequency with the creativity of that book, I literally sat down, pled with God to help me, of course, and I just transcribed what he dictated to me. And what's interesting about this, and people are going to, don't be a hater out there. Don't be a hater if you've been trying to write a book for years. So I wrote the book, submitted it to my editor / proofreader and everything. And she says, how many times has this been scrubbed and cleaned?
And I said, zero.
I know this is me giving it to you to do that. Because everybody's telling me you need 3 or 4 months to do even just that stage. But I went to this editor and said, how much more would you charge me to get this done in a week? And she said, well, let's take a look. And she called me a couple days later and she said, again, how many times has this been scrubbed before you gave it to me? And I said, none. I mean, I've proofed it. I've cleaned it up. And she said, look, I've made a few changes to a few of the sentence structures, fixed a couple of the punctuations, but I get what you're trying to do here and I get your style. I didn't do anything to it. I'm giving it back to you. It's good to go. We got it to the interior designer who designed the interior pages, got it over to the printer, and here we are just not very many weeks later.
That's amazing. That is amazing. I mean, self-published,
well,
right?
All the pieces just came together. And when you're in flow and you surrender, amazing things happen.
What is your, 100,000 books, and you kind of ran through the game plan, I think even before we started recording. I mean, you're on a, I mean, different shows, different podcasts, different radio shows.
I'll be on 30, 40 podcasts.
Yeah.
I was on Fox 13's The Place last week. This coming week, I'll be on Fresh Living in Salt Lake City, Good Things Utah, Studio 5. Then I fly over to Denver. I've got a whole team. It's easy for me to fly. I don't have to worry about that. Common can be a bit of a stinker sometimes, but as long as Rudy's out front leading the team, all is well. But I'll be over in Denver and I'll be on the ABC affiliate there. And then on the CW station over in Denver. And then of course I'm making appearances. People go to the website, they buy the book, but then I'm doing a number of signings over in Denver next week. And then the next week after that, I'm making my way through Texas, number of events, selling and signing books. And then I'm off to the Midwest. Got a big appearance on Wish TV. They've got 21 affiliates around the country. So I'll do a live in-studio appearance on Wish TV, and it'll be simulcast to 21 stations at the same time. And then I've got 5 or 6 book signings in Metro Indianapolis, and the list just goes on and on.
These are all connections that you had? Or, like, I mean, that's amazing.
You just put it out there.
Yeah.
The world will take care of it if you just launch, move, get going, say you're doing it, and great things will happen.
What was the hardest thing with writing this book?
Getting on Chris's podcast.
For real, though.
I had to cajole. I had to email. I had to knock on your door. I had to throw rocks at the window.
All I told you, I said, I just need a copy of the book. And, he, you know, no. But for real, was there any, I mean, or was it pretty easy?
Well, define easy, though, because I don't want haters, but okay, so for instance, I don't want to get into this, but like the book cover, I have a background in graphic arts, so I designed the cover. So I had a little help on the front picture of Santa Claus, but other than that, I laid that out. I did all the graphic design for the book.
So you didn't go to like Fiverr or something like that and hire, this is all from, wow. I mean, it's a beautiful book. That's
well,
the
thank
thing.
You.
I mean, for people watching on the camera, I'm holding it up. I mean, at least go to ThroughSantasEyes.com and
so
take a look at it.
So I designed it that way so that that front title was embossed and pops like that. So if people buy this on Amazon around the world, you know, Amazon does print on demand. So if somebody orders this in Australia, I wanted to be able to make sure it looked at least this good anywhere in the world. So I designed it so that that cover will look that good no matter who prints it, wherever they're at.
What advice would you give somebody? Like, say that's listening and you're like, I don't want haters out there, right? What advice would you give somebody?
I mean, surround yourself with good people. But if somebody tells you that it's going to cost you $40,000 in a year of your life to write a book, I would say somebody's just trying to get money from you.
Yeah.
Do you remember Mark Eaton? He played for the Utah Jazz?
Yeah.
Okay, so he had given somebody $80,000 and a year of his time to try to write a book, and he still didn't have a book. So he went to my friend Richard Paul Evans, and within 2 months, he had a book, and it was printed, ready to go. And at the time, Mark was doing speaking engagements for like $5,000, and he was doing a few. But then he came out with his book, and immediately his speaking fee quadrupled because he was an author. And then he would have every member of the audience get a copy of his book. So they would all buy a copy. In fact, I did this last week as Cos Green. I spoke for the Association of Government Accountants at the Aquarium for their annual conference. The lady heard about the book and she went to the board, loved the concept of what I was doing, had nothing to do with my talk, and said, you know what, we would like to gift everybody in the audience a copy of the book. So we sold 150 extra copies of the book there. So that's how we're going to get to our goal of 100,000 books is because, like when I go to Texas, there's a group who ordered 400 copies of the book that we already shipped, and that's how it's happening.
Yeah. That is awesome. That is awesome.
Because we don't just sell one, you know, if I were to sell a million books, and which we will by Christmas of next year, if I just sell one book to each person, that's a tough row to hoe. That's a million people I've got to reach. But if I can get 10 or 100,000 people to read my book and then go order 10 or 20 or 30 books more and give them as a gift, we'll get it to our million. Easy.
Let's talk about how people can hire you as a for Santa.
Well, good luck with that this year.
Well, this year, I guess. But in general, so you, what have you been doing? Like, do you do like the mall Santa thing
no,
too?
No, and there's no disrespect because I respect the guys because they're part of the Sacred Red Suit Brigade as well. Yeah. But that's what makes me different. I don't just sit there and get my pictures taken because of my background in professional entertainment. I mean, it's a show. I mean, it's a lot of fun. But what makes me different is I don't ask kids what they want for Christmas.
What do you do?
I ask them what they're going to give.
And what do they usually say? Does it usually catch them off guard a little bit?
Well, years ago, yes, but it's become a tradition now that they know when they meet with me, they're going to talk about what they're going to give for Christmas because I challenge them. It's nothing that they can buy in a store or have Amazon Prime deliver. It's something that comes from the heart. It's a gift. And so there's a story in the book that's called Quiet Giving. And I talk about the Turley family that I visit every Christmas Eve. And I love how we've done it for families, and it's become a tradition now. So let's set the scene. I am there on Christmas Eve, and instead of asking them what they want for Christmas, now that's not going to happen because we're hours away from when I'm going to visit their house anyway. So I have cards that Grandma Turley has made up, and instead of her giving the kids presents, she gives on their behalf. So for instance, let's say you have a connection to Haiti or something in the family. So you would come up and I would say, Chris, this year you're giving 10 piglets to a village in Haiti. And maybe this young couple over here that just had a baby, they come up and I present to them the gift that they have given prenatal care to 10 women in Kenya. So the challenge is, instead of spending on this money on things where people just condemn it to a closet anyway, let's give and let's be selfish and let's help people around the world. And it's taking off like wildfire.
That is awesome.
We're making a difference.
What can you see this turning into, this whole movement thing that you've
done? I want it to be a worldwide movement. I really believe that we can make a difference, and it's really simple. Do you remember the movie Pay It Forward?
Of course.
Okay, we all remember that. That was a simple little concept.
Yeah.
I believe the whole Be More Elfish movement will make a difference in the world. So give me your left hand, because we receive with our left, because that's where your heart is. Put your hand in there.
Okay.
And you now have a bracelet to remind you to be more elfish. I believe we can do this, Chris, and with everybody's
help. Is this mine?
That's yours.
Dude, I love it,
and
actually.
And here's one for Lucy, too.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
There's one for Lucy, too.
Oh, wow.
And any of your listeners out there that want one, just go to Through Santa's Eyes. There's a little button at the bottom of the homepage.
Oh, my gosh.
And you can request to get...
I love stuff like this because it's a great reminder.
Yeah.
Right? Like I'm a big fan of reminders through the day to just like keep me on track, like keep my head straight, keep my mindset right. And that's why I love, you kind of coined that, be more elfish.
Yeah, and I don't remember where it came from. I just remember I could have been 10 years ago, 15 years ago. I was on a stage somewhere and I just challenged the audience to be less selfish. And then it just came to me. Be more elfish. And now as I go into homes and businesses, they'll have it cross-stitched. They'll have it printed where they actually have be less selfish, be more elfish as part of their family mission statement. And it's fun that it becomes part of the culture of the family. Like people have told me stories about how two of the siblings will, you know, not be getting along in the middle of the summer. And one will turn to the other and say, you know, you're not being very elfish. Or they'll do something kind for each other and say, now that was very elfish. I believe that we can change the culture. We can change our vocabulary that elfish is the opposite of selfish. And it means to give of yourself, to love, to be kind. What a world we'll live in if we could embrace that.
I know you've done different audiobooks, right? Like you've done... Audible stuff for other
and
people.
And I know a guy to do this one.
Are you doing this?
Absolutely.
Is it out yet or not?
It's in progress.
In progress. I was going to say, well, maybe don't have it for Christmas because then people won't get the book, I guess, right?
Like, oh, we've got a whole strategy.
Okay, you got a whole strategy there. Because I know I'm a big fan of physical books. Like, I love tangible books. Yes. I love the smell of it. I love hearing
them. And that's
why
we made this a beautiful book.
But
next year for my 25th year, it'll be a beautiful hardcover book.
Oh, I love hardcover
books. It'll be vintage. And then next year, this will actually be a children's book.
Okay.
So it'll be heirloom quality, a coffee table book, big, beautiful illustrations you'll open up. The 9 stories will be simplified, but there'll be beautiful illustrations. It's going to be an amazing children's book to go with the album and eventually the movie and everything.
That is awesome. I just didn't want people, because I know I could typically buy the audio book before the regular book.
And I'm the kind of guy, I get the audio and then I'm like, oh, I want to remember where that quote is. So then I buy the ebook and then I buy the physical book and I buy them all.
Well, for the good ones,
Yes.
I mean, if they're a boring or lame book or something like that,
I won't buy all three.
But
I think I've got in one of my Audible accounts like 350 books and then my other one's like 200 and something. I consume a lot of audiobooks.
So are you still, I mean, just a little bit of Cos Green here, you know, to step outside of the book and step outside the Santa Claus role here. I mean, are you still doing the audiobook thing?
And, I'm still doing a lot of voiceover. I more coach authors now to do their own book.
Okay.
As opposed to read it for them.
Like tell me, coach it. What do you do there?
Well, and they wrote the book, and unless they really can't, you know, lead silent prayer in a phone booth, they're not very good. I would coach them to actually read their own book.
Gotcha.
So I'd be in the studio or on the line with them, helping coach them through reading their own book.
Wow.
So that they're doing it, not me.
Okay. Okay.
But then, you know, just,
and you're still doing the sports stuff,
still doing sports announcing. And my brother and I, we have about 6 different businesses we're involved in, so life is busy. And we decided to start North Pole Publishing for the purpose of getting this movement going.
Yeah.
And so now we own a publishing company.
So talk about that. What other books are you going to be publishing?
Or so in March, April, the very last page of that book, I'm promoting my next book, which is called You Are Worthy.
Which I saw that
exposing
quote by
the
Brian,
big lie.
Brian Tracy. I'm a big fan of Brian Tracy.
I'm a big fan of Brian. We worked together in my early 20s.
Yeah.
I shared the platform with him. And so he's written a nice testimonial for the front cover of that book.
I saw that. I was a little jealous. I was like, oh my gosh. What was that book? Eat the Frog wrote?
Eat the Frog? He's written 87 books.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
He's a great man too. Love Brian. He had a profound impact on me.
You're going to write, and I mean, you're just going to write. You're just going to become a big writer now.
Yeah, I'll write too. I think I did a little inventory, and I have 3 hours a week where I'm actually either, you know, that I guess I could sleep, but I figure why waste time? We've got lots to do. We have a lot of great things to do. So
talk about your writing process really quick. Do you find inspiration from are you a pure quiet type of person? Do you go to coffee shops? Do you?
Quiet.
Okay.
I can't even have music playing.
Okay.
So for this book, you know, I had my citrus aromatherapy going.
Okay.
Orange actually helps with creativity. Citrus orange. So I had that burning, the candle. And then I had very quietly on repeat, I had Mannheim Roller's Silent Night. But so barely audible that I could hear it. Otherwise, I got to have a quiet when I write.
Awesome. Well, there's a few standard questions. You know, I asked you this when you were first on the show, Kaz. Family and friends visit Utah. Where do you take them? Where do you show them? You know, I'm not going to get into all that, but I'm curious if there's any new favorite local eating spots you're enjoying. You know, Salt Lake County, Park City, Davis County, Utah, wherever. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
I don't know. You know, I guess I'm kind of a foodie. I like to try lots of
Or are you a just eat at home kind of guy?
Oh, no. I'm a bachelor.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean.
So DoorDash every day, right?
No, not DoorDash. Just root around in the fridge and see what comes together. But no, I eat out way too much. No, we just went to a new little place out west. Where was that? It was like 114th South and then way out west by the Smiths out there. There's a new Indian restaurant. We went there last night. That was really actually very, very good. You know, you got to get the chicken masala.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was really good. I'm partial. Can I get a plug for my favorite
place?
Please.
No, that's what I want to hear.
Oh. I got to tell you, you got to go visit Jerry over at Korean Barbecue of Utah, 7200 South and State.
Okay, tell me about this.
Anytime I want to eat a good meal, I just go, and it's funny because I walk in, and it's a joke now. I am obviously, if you met Jerry and met me, we are not of the same ethnic descent, so there's no way I'm his uncle.
Yeah.
But whenever I have to put my name on the wait list, I just say I'm Jerry's uncle. And so everybody just knows me there as Jerry's uncle. So when I walk in, I just get my table. And Jerry just knows what I get. He goes over and he gets a third of my cup is Fanta orange. And then the rest is Coke Zero, no ice. So as I sit down, there's my drink. And it's one of those where they bring you the raw food and then you cook it at your table.
Wait, orange in orange Fanta.
Orange Fanta, a third of it.
With
and Coke? Then the rest is Coke Zero, no ice.
God, that sounds horrible.
That's awesome.
It's good?
Oh, it's actually very good.
Okay.
When I lived in Chicago, I did another way. I did, well, there wasn't Coke Zero at the time. It was Diet Coke. So it was a third lemonade, and then the rest was Diet Coke. And they actually put it on the menu as the Cos Green. It's actually called the Tiger Woods. Because, you know, you got the Jack Nicklaus.
Yeah.
The Arnold Palmer.
Yeah,
which is half and half.
Which I enjoy.
Yeah, which is your beverage. Iced tea and lemonade.
Yeah.
So the Cos Green is a third lemonade, and the rest is Diet Coke or Coke Zero.
So okay. Anyway, sorry.
So I love Korean barbecue.
Yeah, the Korean
love
barbecue.
It. So they bring the food to you raw, and you cook it right there at your table.
No kidding. 7200 South and, State Street there?
Yeah. They're on the northeast corner.
By Savers, kind of over there? There's a
kitty corner from Savers.
Okay, and then like the
across the street from the Shane Company. Because you've got a friend in the diamond business.
Yeah, there used to be a Hooters right there.
Okay, that's the building. I wasn't going to say it because I didn't want to admit that I knew what was there before it was that.
Hey, come on. It was there.
We go for the wings.
We all drove by it, right? We all drove by it.
Yep, it's in that old building. Yeah, so that's, I love that place. So anyway, since we're plugging somewhere, yeah, Korean barbecue. Go in and say hi to Jerry and tell him Kaz sent you.
Tell him his uncle sent.
Tell him Uncle Kaz sent you.
Uncle Kaz sent. Dude, that is awesome. What do you think of all the, I mean, I guess it wasn't that long ago that I had you on the podcast, but
it's
I
like
mean,
a year or so.
Utah's exploded, man. What do you think of all the growth here?
It's crazy.
Like the traffic has just gone crazy.
I don't know. You know,
there's
people
no room
say
to move.
Well, people say that, but I've lived in big cities. I lived in Chicago, and when I worked for NBC Universal, I was on the road 47 weeks of the year, and I had to deal with traffic in Atlanta and L.A. and Seattle and
it's D.C. Nothing like this, huh?
And come on, our traffic's nothing like that.
True, true.
We're not really a big city.
Yeah. Well, we're getting there.
We're a big little city.
We're getting there.
Yeah,
we're getting there. I mean, come on.
We're getting some traffic. East-West is no fun in Utah, that's for sure.
Yeah, they need
North-South's not so bad, but East-West is a pain in the keister for sure. So that's why... That's why I fly everywhere now.
That's why you fly everywhere. You know, and that's another question I ask people, you know, anything they're excited for this winter, but obviously your book.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
getting this book.
We are going to be touring it. It's so fun.
I mean,
just meeting all the good people. I did a book signing at Gardner Village.
Okay.
A week ago Thursday, and most book signings, I don't know, 20, 30 people show up, you know. We had a line for an hour out into the parking lot just to get in the building to get the book signed. It was amazing. We had over 350 people, sold a couple thousand books. It was amazing.
Yeah.
We had the food, the decorations. It really kicked off the holiday. It was the Thursday before Thanksgiving.
Well, let's talk about that as we kind of wrap this episode up. I mean, first of all, thank you so much for coming here and driving
here
and talking about your book.
Well, I didn't drive. I flew.
Flew here.
I've got all 10 reindeer outside, actually.
Well, we need to take some snacks out there for them.
Well, they're enjoying a bale of hay. So there's Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donder, Blitzen, and of course, number 9, Rudy.
Yeah.
You know, we at the North Pole, we call him Rudy. It's like, hey, Rudy, you want to play some reindeer games? Hey, Rudy, go along. But then, of course, we can't forget the young lady that keeps them all in check.
And who's that?
That's the
Mrs.
Reindeer.
Claus.
No, Olive. And we've been singing about her for years. Olive, the other reindeer. I mean, she's been there, but she hasn't got any credit. So I'm here tonight to get Olive all the credit she deserves.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Oh, is there do you have a social media for Through Santa's Eyes or like, what's the best way for people to connect on social?
Just Kaz. Just my Kaz Green Facebook presence. There is a Facebook for Through Santa's Eyes.
Okay.
But really it's just ThroughSantasEyes.com. We made it easy. If Through Santa's Eyes is too long, I went and got SantaBook.com, which then just redirects to ThroughSantasEyes.com. So SantaBook.com goes to the same place.
Now, are you getting people to like take selfies with the book and tag you in it and
absolutely.
All that good stuff? Use the hashtag.
That's so fun.
You know,
hashtag be more elfish.
Be more elfish. So I'm going to tell my listeners to do that as well.
Take a picture with the book with you
get
reading
the
it.
Book. Go order it from the website. Wherever you need to get a book, go get a book. Take a picture. Tag me and tag Kaz.
Absolutely.
I want to see it too.
I brought you a couple. Copies of the book, I'll sign one to you and make sure we get one for Lucy and a few extra books that you can give out. But again, like you mentioned, perfect gift for all your families and friends and everybody at work.
Absolutely. So just ThroughSantasEyes.com, Kaz Green on Facebook, Through Santa's Eyes on Facebook. Instagram, are you on Instagram or no?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kaz Green on Instagram.
Kaz Green on Instagram.
I got to get one of my elves to do all that social media stuff, don't
I? Okay. Anything else?
I can't sell them any faster, Chris. I'm doing just fine.
Anything else you want to mention before we wrap? Why the recorder's going? Why we got everything going?
No, just that I challenge everyone to join the movement to realize that love is the answer.
Yeah.
It really is.
Sure.
That we just need to be less selfish, be more elfish, be more kind to each other, serve one another. We are so divided in this country, so divided in this world, and we're only getting more divided. So I say to that, part of the Through Santa's Eyes movement as well is what makes this so powerful. You'll read in the stories in the book. See, Santa doesn't see borders.
Yeah.
Santa doesn't see political parties. Santa doesn't see religions. Santa just sees people for who they are and just loves them for who they are. What if we all just saw the world the same way through Santa's eyes?
Yeah. I love it. Perfect place to end the show. Please reach out to Kaz. Please connect with him. Get a copy of the book.
Yes,
I mean,
please.
Let's pass
the movement along.
What the whole purpose of this podcast is
just want to introduce you to the book and make sure we all get copies this year.
It's pointless if we don't, right? Like, what's the purpose of doing this podcast if we don't?
Well, because we rekindled our friendship.
Well, yeah. But I'm talking about for my listeners and stuff like that.
Your listeners will enjoy the stories as well as the transformation I go through as that selfish guy at the beginning of the book, the hero's journey, and for what I discover at the end.
Awesome. Well, I can't wait to start reading it because I haven't even read it yet. So I'm gonna start reading it actually tonight.
So make sure you stop and get a box of Kleenexes. Everybody tells me whether it's a male or a female, people cry when they read.
Oh, I'm a crier.
That's good.
I'm a crier.
That's good.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you coming and doing the podcast, Kaz. Thank you so much for the book.
Pleasure.
Seriously, I'm a big book reader, so I'm very excited to
devour that to
read it tonight, to start reading it.
Awesome.
So thank you for doing the podcast. We'll catch up down the road, and Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas to you and to all of your listeners and those who are viewing tonight. And may 2024 be your very best year yet. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Thanks, Kaz.